Hey girl, welcome to Better You Podcast, where we're all about reaching for a better version of ourselves while keeping things realistic and doable. My name's Katrina, a mama of two who's obsessed with self-care, personal development, and supporting women on their journey any way I can. I'm here to give you simple tools and strategies that you can use to take care of your life, including your mind, as you design a life you love one day at a time. The goal is to ditch the busy, the stressed, the tired, and build confidence that we need to choose joy and alignment. In this podcast, expect real talk, a little tough love, and simple takeaways that you can start using right now. Life is full of ups and downs, but with the right tools and mindset, we can truly live a life that we love. I'm right here with you, girl, your new BFF. Let's go. What's up? You guys, this episode is based on my fifth grade class speech contest. Not really, but that's where I got the idea. How can we be great at something if we've never even done it? And this came about last week. My class did a speech contest, actually in Florida, students in fourth and fifth and probably other grades. I don't know. I just teach fourth and fifth and I'm in my own world. They're probably required to give a speech and participate as well, but at least fourth and fifth grade, they're required to give a speech and participate in a class speech contest. And then the first place winners from each class go on to compete for the school, and then the winner for the school goes on to compete for the county and so on, right? And I tell you what, there are a lot of life lessons that come from a speech contest. And there are very good, valuable lessons that can come from many aspects of school. But this is just another, and it's one that I've just recently experienced. And I don't know, I'm always finding ways to relate and finding ways to, I don't know, find life lessons. And I just am always looking for that. So I just was thinking about, like, we expect perfection, right? And we expect to be great at something and we've never even done it, right? So I'm about to start this speech contest and, you know, we assign it and tell the kids about it, send papers home and whatever. And of course, it's crickets for a while, but then the closer we get to the actual contest, then it's like, well, we don't know what to write about, or we can't get it written, or, you know, you've got these parents that complain, well, I can't get my kid to do it, or I don't like speaking in front of others, so I'm not going to make my kid speak in front of others. You know, stuff like that, right? I even had a parent ask me if their kid could just give the speech to me instead of the whole class. And like even stuff, you know, like my kid has a speech impediment, a learning disability, their face gets red, all these different things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're missing the point here. We're missing the point. First of all, everyone has to do it. We're all doing it. I don't care. We're all doing it. We're assessing, you know, a standard for speech, like we're all doing it, right? But this whole speech contest thing isn't for kids to perfectly give a speech. And I think that's what we were missing. That's what we're missing. And this is what I told my kids in the classroom, but I'm like, God, I almost want to give my own speech to parents before this starts. And then to women and to you, right? Like, this isn't about giving perfectly created speeches, right? I mean, okay, yes, part of the speech rubric, like, okay, it scores them on their volume and their speed and their articulation. And then the other part, you know, scores them on the written portion, the introduction, the conclusion, smooth transitions, is the speech easy to follow, the topic, you know, all that. But if you ask me, this is about a greater picture. This is about much more than that. Like asking too cool for school fifth graders to give a speech gets them out of their damn comfort zone. And that's how we grow, right? That's how we grow. Now, on the flip side of that, it allows for some students to shine where students might not always shine. Some students are super talkative and that might be frowned upon in the middle of a math lesson. But heck, give them the spotlight. They want it. Let them shine, right? It allows students a chance to share about a topic that's important to them, right? For some, it freaking humbles them. I got some cocky ass kids in my class. And then they have to stand up there and they're embarrassed and whatever. They toned it down a notch, right? It humbles them. Students learn empathy. Everyone has to do it. They're not going to sit there and make fun of and critique all of these others because they have to do it too, right? We got to have this conversation about we're going to mess up. We're going to stutter. We're going to forget parts of it. We might cry. Our hands might shake. We might drop our note cards. And that's okay because we're human. And when that happens, you're not going to laugh at a person or make fun of them because actually you know what it's like now to be in the spotlight. This was a great experience for everyone to have. It also allowed students like an opportunity to be in the spotlight and then they can learn like, oh, I'm going to give my teacher grace because she's in the spotlight all the time. Or I'm going to give that student grace. Or like it gave a different perspective. And so there were so many things that came from this process. And then the whole like, I worked hard at something and I followed through and I did it, right? And then when they're done, regardless, this happens every time, regardless if they wanted to do it or not, when they're done, they're so proud. They're proud they're done, right? It builds confidence because they did it, even if they didn't want to. It builds confidence, right? They realize, oh, I actually could do it. I'm like, but did you die, right? They have a better understanding that this whole thing isn't about you being perfect, right? Nobody was perfect. Now, we had some kids that the rest of the class is like, man, you were good, but nobody's perfect. And this wasn't about perfection, but I feel like everyday life with social media and stuff, like we have these highlighted, perfectly curated lives that we all consume of other people's. And it's not really like that. And so it was good that it was messy. It was good that it wasn't perfect. And we all got to experience it and we all got to go through it, right? And it gave our kids like, I don't know, for just even for this moment, for just even this day, our kids accepted each other where not always do they do that. They critique and they, you know, make fun of and whatever, because that's who kids are. But for this brief little moment, we all were like on the same level playing field because they all had to stand up there and do it, right? But a really big thing that came up in conversation that was so awesome to talk about was how can you be great at something if you've never done it? And these kids were, before they even started, they were talking about, I'm nervous, I'm scared, which of course, then I went into Mel Robbins and talked about, hey, did you know that when you say I'm nervous, your body reacts the exact same way as it does when you say I'm excited? And I talked about a perspective shift and I was like, hey, so you don't have to say I'm excited because I can't wait and I love public speaking. I don't expect you to say that, but you could just say I'm excited to get it over with. You could just say I'm excited for it to be done. You could say I'm excited to talk about my topic because they all got to talk about their topic. And your body's going to feel the exact same way as it does when you say I'm nervous. But your brain does this funny thing. It looks for evidence to support the stories you're telling it. So if you're saying I'm nervous, this is going to be terrible, I'm scared, your brain is looking for every itty bitty little reason why it should be nervous and why you should be scared and all these negative things, right? Danger. Oh my gosh. On the flip side of that, if you're saying I'm excited for this to get over, I'm excited to tell people about my topic, I'm excited. Your brain has a totally different lens and looks for different things. We got to have a good conversation about that, right? But when we were talking about how can you be great at something when you've never done it, we got talking about like letting go of that idea of perfect. And this was just a different perspective because I always talk about like, hey, it's okay if you got a B, if you know you studied and you tried your best. Now, I get being disappointed with yourself if you get a grade and you know you didn't try your best. But if you tried your best, like that's okay. We're not like, we can't always be perfect. We can't always bring our A game. We can't always be on, you know? And so we talked about like, these kids started out with high freaking standards and they quickly realized like, this is silly. How often are they up talking in front of people? They're not, right? We discussed, you know, this like turned into discussing athletes and celebrities and all these different types of people and how they started out as failures, failing, right? They all struggled. Even Michael Jordan got cut from basketball teams. So it's okay to not be great. And that doesn't mean you're any lesser, right? But here's what was cool too. We're like, hey, you're strong at soccer. Maybe next time be mindful when you're playing soccer and someone's just starting out, they're not as good as you. Because you stood up here and you stuttered during your speech, but so-and-so killed their speech. But maybe they're not as good at soccer. So we got to have conversations about our strengths and weaknesses, right? We got to have conversations about it's okay to not be great, especially when you're just starting out. Duh, you've never done it. And I told him, it would be super weird if every single one of you like stood up here and gave a perfect speech, right? That would be weird because you don't have the practice. You don't have the experience. So why am I telling you about my kids and their speech competition? What are you starting out at? What are you not great at and you're not giving yourself grace? What have you maybe not even tried or gotten out of your comfort zone, right? And then I got to thinking, I just for shits and giggles, I'm like styling bangs, right? We've all been through a bang phase and it's just not good at it when you start. Or some of us are just not ever good at it, but we went through the phase. We are a stronger person because of it. And now my bangs are long as the rest of my hair because of that. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful. Whew, I grew through that, right? Contouring or highlighting or doing any of the makeup shit on your face, right? Self-tanner. That's another one that made me giggle, but I'm like, we have to get better, or you just learn that maybe that's not for you and you quit early. I don't know. Like, there are just certain little things. Color street nails are actually doing anything with your nails, right? Fake lashes. That's, I got to call my sister out, but she put on, those first few times she put on lashes and I was like, I can't with you talking about your lashes right now. Like, it's so funny. Working out. How many times have you been in a workout class or around people who know what they're doing and you don't, and you feel awkward and you're like, what the fuck am I doing here? And you're like totally like negative self-talk. But then you find your jam, you find what works. Maybe you hate yoga. Maybe you found yoga and you loved yoga. Maybe you hated CrossFit. Maybe you found CrossFit and you love it. Whatever it is, then you're like, oh, I just needed to find what worked for me, or I just needed to keep with it. I needed to stick with that friend who knows what they're doing. Meditation. I will be the first to admit I've given up on meditation several times. Now I'm consistent with it. I'm not good at it though. I've been doing meditation for a solid year consistently and I'm still not good at it, but I keep trying, right? One of these days I'm going to be hanging out with Jay Shetty. I don't know, but it takes a while. I can't expect to be good at it. Like, we can't expect to be good at these things when we first start, right? Waking up early, that's something that you just suck at. How about driving? How about parallel freaking parking? And I know some of us still avoid that. And other times, if you're like forced to do it, you somehow make it happen. You crank it out, right? Eating healthy. How about fucking taxes? I feel so much more confident at taxes now that I've adulted a couple years, right? Adulting in general. Hey, we don't know all these things. There's a lot of adulting things I've never done. So how am I supposed to be great at it, right? Or what about your job? What about one of your first jobs? What about, like, when I think about my first few years of teaching, bless Miss Reynolds, not Mrs. my mom, no, Miss Reynolds, me, bless me from way back when, right? We weren't good. How, like, if a new teacher started out working on my team and she just was the bomb.com, whatever. No way. It just doesn't work. You just can't. You cannot be new and be awesome at everything, right? Like, you're going to suck at things. You're going to not know. And it's wild to me. We tell our kids to try their best and to do the thing anyways. We encourage our kids to try the new thing. We want them to get out of their comfort zone. We don't expect perfection from them. So then why do we all of a sudden expect it from ourselves? Gosh, there's so much gets lost in translation, gets lost in growing up. We have all these expectations of kids. And then when we get to adulthood, we like change the narrative and the rules and stuff. And some of it's bullshit, right? Like, no, we're allowed to not be good too. It's okay that I have a 6-year-old and an almost 3-year-old and I still haven't figured out this parenting thing. That's okay. I'm still starting out. That's what I'm going to say anyways, right? Like, we've got to give ourselves some grace on this stuff. So I just, all this to be said, I'm just wondering, like, when's the last time you got out of your comfort zone? When's the last time that you tried something new? How often do you quit something just because it's challenging or you struggled that one time and then you never try again? Now, obviously, we try something and then we realize some things aren't for us. But maybe there's things that you really do need to stick with and you just keep giving up and you've not given it enough time. It's okay. You got to embrace the suck, right? I guess where I'm getting at, you know, is you're not in fifth grade anymore. And a teacher's not going to make you get out of your comfort zone anymore, right? You're an adult now and you've got to do that shit yourself. And I'm just going to be here encouraging you to do it, right? That's all I can do as your friend. But you can do it. You've made it through all the tough times so far, all the tough things, all the new things. You've made it this far. You've made it through it all. And just think, when you do the thing, when you try the thing, when you embrace the suck, when you embrace the newness, when you embrace not being great at something and you stick with it, right? You're going to be just like my fifth graders once you did the thing. You're going to be proud. You might be glad it's over, but you grew through it, right? Maybe you want to do it again. Maybe you're excited to get better at that thing. Maybe you're pumped for the result. Like so many of them were, you know, they're great. They were so surprised. Oh my God, wait, I got a B. Oh my gosh, I got a B. Even if they like read from their note card, you know, I'm not like a total stickler. And then like the big one, but did you die, right? Like just get out there and do it. Whatever that thing is, try it out. Get curious. And just stick with it and just try, right? We don't have to be great, but how can you be great if you've never even done it? Okay? So you're doing awesome. I'm right here with you, girl.
Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. I hope you found a takeaway that was helpful for you or something that resonated. I'd love to know if you liked my message. It would be awesome if you would DM me or share this episode and tag me at Katrina McMurtry. We're in this together. You're already doing it. You're making moves. I'm so grateful you're here. Keep being awesome.